Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Obviously, right off the bat, I know what you're thinking. You're noticing something right off the bat. You're thinking, wow, this guy works out. You do not get definition in your legs like this without working out. All right, guys? It is an honor to be here on behalf of the Indianapolis Colts, on Dean, but on Indianapolis. Welcome to Indiana. We're so glad you guys are here. We're honored to have you here. The FFA, we are proud that you guys come to Indianapolis. I'm from Indiana. I grew up here. I grew up in a small town. I worked in the cornfields. I played basketball like most Hoosier kids. And I went to Greenfield Central High School. I played basketball most of my life. Then I got bigger, stronger. I went to Purdue University. And I played, there we go, we got some Purdue. I played lacrosse all 4 years at Purdue University. Maybe 4.5, 5 years at Purdue University. But then I got a job, and I got out in corporate America, and I enjoyed it. I was a corporate recruiter at Conseco Insurance here in town. I realized that my daily work now just was outside of my world. It wasn't just the things that I did that affected me. It affected my coworkers. It affected the people I hired. But it snowballs, and it affects their families and the people they interact with. You have to realize whoever you come in contact with, not only your attitude, your hard work, the things you stand for, don't just affect that person. It continues on, it snowballs and affects their friends, their family. And when you're a positive inspiration in other people's lives, it goes a lot farther. But sometimes that negativeness can go just as far. But then 2001 came and 9/11 happened and this country was attacked. And I drove to work and I heard of the news that the towers had been hit. I watched the horrific events take place on TV that day, and it weighed on my heart and mind to do something. I knew that I was big enough to serve this country. I was an athlete, had played sports my whole life. Mentally, I believed in it. My father had served during Vietnam. My grandfather served in World War II. So in 2003, I made the decision that I would join the United States Marine Corps. In 2004, at the age of 27, I left for boot camp and quickly realized that 27 is not young to join the Marine Corps. Most people were the same ages that you guys are today. They were 17, 18, 19 years old, and I thought, you know what, I'm a lot older than these. I will not connect with these younger men. There is no possible way we can form this connection. I was so different in age. I thought they were immature, and I thought I knew everything. I quickly found out it doesn't matter how old you are. You can do amazing things in this world, and those guys I would trust with my life. And looking out in the audience and hearing all the things at FFA, I know it's just as true as this group. It doesn't matter of age. If you set your mind to something, you go out there and do it, you can change this world anytime you want. I went through 13 weeks of boot camp. 13 weeks of boot camp, learning to become a Marine, doing the things Marines do, learning to march, learning to shoot. And the guys that were going to teach me that were my drill instructors. The meanest, toughest, roughest guys I've ever seen in my life. 24 hours a day, they were in my face. They were yelling at me constantly. They woke me up at all hours of the day and night, make me go run at 3 in the morning, push-ups at 4 in the morning. I didn't understand this. For 13 weeks, they did this to me. And finally, after 13 weeks, I claimed the title of Marine. And I was proud of that because I was proud to serve this great country that we live in. But I was finally thankful for that training because these guys who were so hard on me knew where I was headed. They knew I was headed somewhere worse. And they wanted to make me prepared. They wanted me to be successful as a Marine, so they were going to put me in the worst possible situations, push me harder than I've ever been pushed mentally and physically. Usually the people in our lives that push us the hardest, that are the hardest on us, that expect the most out of us, are the people that know your potential. Your parents, your coaches, your sponsors, those are the people that believe in you the most. Be thankful for that hardship. Be thankful for that tough love they give on you. I came back to Indiana as a reservist. I was stationed out of Terre Haute. I had joined the infantry. I had a good career, but I wanted to run on the front lines. I wanted to go over and help someone else. And in January of 2006, I received that phone call saying I'd been activated to go to war. I knew that phone call was coming. I had signed up to do this, but it still scared me. It still sent chills through my body what that entailed. But we train. Just like anything in life, you have to prepare. You have to honestly prepare for the worst possible situations. But you have to hope for the best. And in September of 2006, I headed to the city of Fallujah, Iraq. In 06, Fallujah was a pretty bad spot. There's a lot of terrorist activity, a lot of bombs, a lot of snipers over there, but we're there to support those people. Because every day, just like you and I, they woke up. Parents opened up their shops, they drove to work, so the kids went out and played, and there was gunfire and explosions everywhere. And people were getting killed and hurt. And it's sad to see people live like that. It's hard to watch, but I believe that's the reason we are over there, to give them a fighting chance. And I enjoyed my time. I enjoyed serving those people in our country at the same time. But on October 15th of 2006, I was in a Humvee. We were driving down the road. We were stopping vehicles, pulling them over, pulling all their stuff out, looking for weapons. We were going after specific targets to clean those streets up. We had done a few stops that day. After a particular stop, I loaded my men back up into our Humvee, and we took off flying down that dirt, hot, sandy road in Iraq. Well, we saw a vehicle we wanted to pursue headed the opposite direction, so we did a quick U-turn over the median. When we ran over the median, that's when the bomb went off, and my world went black. I was instantly knocked out. My 17 and 18-year-old fellow brothers, my fellow Marines, got me out there. They risked their lives and saved me. But I was in a coma for 5 days. I woke up in Landstuhl, Germany. I had no idea what had happened. I knew it was bad because I laid in a hospital bed. My jaw was wired shut. I had casts on both my wrists. But I wanted to know about my fellow Marines, the guys I'd lived and served with. And unfortunately, two of them gave their lives for our country that day. My sergeant was killed directly in front of me, and my best friend and roommate was killed to the left. My gunner was thrown from the vehicle. He lost his right leg, but he's doing great. My driver miraculously was untouched. He didn't have a scratch on him, and he finished his tour of duty. But then I needed to know the extent of my injuries. What else had happened? Like I said, it was bad. I was in a hospital. And it would take me weeks, months, even years to deal with what they told me. They explained that I'd lost both my legs above the knee. 27 pins in my hip, a 6-inch screw in my pelvis. I broke my nose, my jaw, both my wrists, 4 fingers. They classify me with post-traumatic stress disorder and severe traumatic brain injury. Now, my family will say, my brain was like this before. They weren't real concerned about it for some reason. But I was angry. I was upset. I was hurt. And I bottled up the anger. I thought life had not been fair. I signed up to do something good. I wanted to make a difference, and this is what happened. Why did I lose my friends? Why did I lose my legs? And I was sent back to Bethesda, Maryland, to a wonderful naval hospital, great doctors, great care. But the thing that meant the most was the support from my family, from my friends, but from my community. I had been raised. My mom worked for the Red Cross. My dad was a school teacher. They had raised me to give back to the community, to help others in need. Well, now it was me. It was my family in need, and the community came alive. They supported us. They sent letters. They sent packages, and it was amazing. But I was now 29 years old, and I was different, because at 29 years old, I was afraid to look into the mirror, because I knew what I would see. I'd been 6'1", 220 pounds, a big, tough Marine, a big, tough lacrosse player. That was gone. I now sat in a wheelchair for the very first time in my life. I'd lost both my legs. I'd withered down to about 110 pounds, and I refused to go into public. There was no way anybody was going to see me look that weak. There was no way I could handle emotionally the stares, the looks. So I hid. I hid from the world. I stayed in that hospital, and I refused to leave, and they offer all kinds of trips to get out. I missed out on a lot of great opportunities just because I was scared. They offered to go snow skiing, to go scuba diving, anything you want to do. But I became notorious for saying no. My sergeant never gave up. He approached me day after day with a new idea. And one day he came to me, he said, "Blyle, another idea has come up, and I don't think you'll pass this up." I said, "Out of respect, Sergeant, you know I always will listen, but I will always say no." He said, "Blyle, how would you like to go to the Indianapolis Colts Chicago Bears Super Bowl?" Huh? He knew where I was from. I was like, Sarge, this is something. Not only as a football fan, I've dreamed of going to a Super Bowl, but to see your hometown, oh, without a doubt, my attitude changed. I quickly started having a smile on my face, and it's the first time I left that hospital. We went down and watched the game. It was fun. It was exciting. We brought home a championship, but it was bigger than that game for me. Because for the first time, I sat in front of hundreds of thousands of people in a wheelchair, as skinny as could be without legs, and I didn't care. I didn't care if people looked. I didn't care if people stared, because I realized that I'd been given a platform, that people were going to notice me. And it wasn't about that outside. It was about who my parents had raised me to be, what the Marine Corps had taught me to survive, to adapt, to overcome, to keep pushing forward, to grow. And I was transferred to Walter Reed Medical Hospital to learn to walk again. I'd been in a wheelchair for 6 months because of my pelvic injuries, and the day came to get my new legs, and I was excited. It was a happy day. I remember sitting there with a big smile on my face waiting for them to bring out the legs. But when they brought them out, they weren't the legs I wear today. They actually weren't the legs I saw everybody else wearing. They brought out the two shortest legs I've ever seen in my life. It made me like 4 feet tall. I looked like a big Oompa Loompa just standing there. I was like, here we go. But I said, you know what, I don't care. I'll take these little legs, whatever you give me. I got hurt. Next step is to learn how to walk. I will go as hard as I can go. But it never crossed my mind for a minute I may not be able to do it. Never thought about that. But as I stood there, I realized that my body was too weak. I was too heavy. I had no idea how to walk in prosthetic legs. And that quick, happy day turned ugly real fast. I got angry again. I took my legs off. I sat back down and I rushed to hide from the world once again. But when I got there, that's when I found letters. Letters from a lot of people, mostly who didn't know who I was, but were just encouraging me. We're saying, Josh, we know you can do this. We're praying for you. We're thinking about you. Get back out there. And I said, you know what? If these people believe that I can do it, surely I have to believe in myself. I went back the next day and I stood there again. I went back the day after that and stood there again. It took me 4 or 5 days before I finally took my first step. And finally I said, you know what? I can do this. I will learn how to walk again and get my life back. And there were good days, there were bad days. I had to relearn to do everything from steps to inclines to declines. But every day I got that support. Every day those letters kept coming. And that meant the world to me. And I met a lot of people along the way, from politicians to celebrities. They all stopped by the hospital. But I actually got to meet the Indianapolis Colts. They're a great organization. They had won the Super Bowl. They were going out to meet President Bush at the time. And they stopped by Walter Reed in D.C. to say thank you to the men and women who had served. And I got to meet all these guys, all the players. It was so cool, nice as can be. These guys were at the top of their game. But they were just concerned with us. It doesn't matter how big you get in this life, how successful. It's still about taking care of that person next to you, looking out for those people in need. And I also got to meet the owner of the Colts, Mr. Jim Irsay. And Irsay said to me, I'll make you two promises. One, when you want to visit Indianapolis, I'll fly you home anytime. And two, when you get there, you come see me about a job. I work for him now. And he's done a lot for me and my family. It was such a blessing to know I was going to have that. But I'd spent 10 months in the hospital, overcome the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life. I'd learned to walk again. But I hadn't been home yet, because I made a promise that I would not go home until I could walk. And I was there. I could finally do it. I was doing pretty well. So I said, you know what? It's time to go home. I scheduled a flight, and as soon as I did that, Murphy's Law kicked in, and I started having issues. I'd take 2 or 3 steps, and it would be painful. I'd have to sit down. I'd take 3 or 4 more steps, and I'd have to rest the rest of the day. So I went to the doctors. They did tests. They did some x-rays. And they came out, and they said, Josh, unfortunately, we found 2 infections in your legs. We're going to have to amputate again. What they were telling me after 10 months of blood, sweat, and tears, I was going to start over. But I looked around me, and I was surrounded by other guys going through hard times. Men and women had lost friends, had lost limbs. I said, you know what? They may not have my faith. They may not have the support that I have. I will go through this, but I will put a smile on my face to show them that even through hard times, we can get through it together. I went through my surgery. I was back in my wheelchair for 3 more months, but then I learned how to walk again for the 3rd time in my life. And hopefully I inspired some of those people along the way. Because men and women had done that for me. They came back to show me that life was possible, that I would learn to walk again. But I spent 22 months in that hospital, 2 years of my life recovering. And after 22 months, I came back here to Indiana. I called the Indianapolis Colts, and they brought me in for an interview. I interviewed with our COO, Pete Ward, and Tom Zupancic was our senior vice president of marketing. They said, Josh, we like you. We like your work ethic, the smile that you have on your face. We want to give you that job, we promise you. I was in a dreamland. I was going to work for the NFL, for the Indianapolis Colts. I just wanted to get out of there and tell everybody what I was going to do. And then I thought, I have no idea what I'm going to do here. And then they told me, they said, Josh, we want you to do public speaking. I hate public speaking. But I said, you know what, I want to work here. I will find a way. Sometimes you have to step outside your comfort zone to try something new, to maybe find something you're passionate about. And I got a brilliant idea. My wonderful wife is a third grade school teacher, so I thought, you know what, I'll practice speaking in front of third graders. That's a horrible idea. They are very critical at that age. And there's two or three mean ones I still need to talk to. Actually, they were wonderful. I loved it. Their hearts were crazy. They asked crazy questions. It was great. And I started doing other speeches. I went to other groups. It just started to grow. I went to organizations, churches, organizations, bigger and bigger, more and more. And I started to like it. I started to fall in love with speaking in front of people. And it wasn't because I'm coming out here and telling you Josh Blyle's story. I'm telling you the thousands of other men and women that did it too. That can replace my name in a heartbeat. But it's talking about life. I'm going to tell you right now, we all have bombs that go off. Sometimes life is not fair. It's how you stick together. It's how you define yourself by getting through those hard times, that putting smiles on your faces. That'll make you better as people, as communities, as families. But I want you to remember this moment right now. I want you to look around and think about this past week of how many of you there are here today in Indianapolis. And when you have that bomb go off, when you have something rough in your life happen, you think about this moment and know that this is your support system. These people will support you. It's about banding together. It's about helping other people. It's about fighting the rally for fighting hunger. And all that you've done for that has been amazing. You guys should applaud yourselves for that. You guys are going to hit a million easy. Trust me. But it's how you keep going. It's how you grow that. We're talking about growing your voice. How do you grow your voice? By banding together. If I just happen to pick out one person in the audience, which I won't do that to you. I know how everybody gets.
No, don't pick me.
I'd say scream as loud as you can be. And it'd be loud and stuff. And the first time, maybe a little bit less than the second time I ask them to do it again. But then if I ask a couple more people, like if I said, Texas. You know what I mean? Awesome. That's what I'm talking about. You grow and grow and grow. If I said FFA, that's growing your voice. It's about banding together to do more and more for the community. It's about giving back. It's about doing the wonderful things that you can in this life to help other people. It's about growing. It's also about love. And it's about giving. Those three words go a long way. Find something that you love in this life. Give it everything you have. And I tell you what, your life will grow and grow and grow. The happiness will grow. It'll be amazing. Set goals for yourself. What they teach us when we're learning how to walk. It's three things you want to do. You want to have a strong core because you walk from here with prosthetic legs. You want to get your abs real strong and just do sit-ups and get a strong core. You want to keep your head up. And you just take one step at a time. In life, when you deal with anything, have a strong core. That core is your values, your ethics, your faith. It's the things that are important in your life. Make that and know who you are in those things. Know how important those things are in your life and stand up for that. Make sure you believe in that core. Have a strong core. Keep your head up no matter what. We all go through those rough times in our life. Keep your head focused forward. Keep pushing through. And just do it one step at a time. Because if you keep taking those one step and one step, eventually you'll get there. I'm honored to be here tonight. It's an absolute honor to speak in front of you, because I look back on that day, October 15th of 2006. It was the absolute worst day of my life. I lost two of my best friends. I lost both of my legs, and I thought my life was completely over. I thought I'd never have another enjoyable day. But because people supported me, because people encouraged me, I'm here before you today very blessed. I have a wonderful wife. I have a 20-month-old little girl home, and I have a 9-day-old son. That's how important this was to me, to be here tonight. Afterwards, I'm going to go back and sleep for like 4 hours behind stage. And I look, and when kids are babies, that I see him, I look at his face, and he can't see very far. He can only kind of see shapes. He can tell his mom. He can smell her and everything. When you want to grow, you have to grow your vision. And as he gets older, he'll be able to see. But I'm talking about the vision of yourself. You have to see that your potential is on and on and on forever. You can do whatever you want in this life, as long as you're willing to put the work into it, the time, the effort. And you have to find those bad spots that are going to make you stronger. They're going to hurt. They're going to be hard sometimes. When I looked back at that time when I was first hurt and I was so angry at the world, so angry at a lot of different things, I realized that my vision had collapsed again. I could only see that little moment in time. I couldn't see the big picture. I couldn't see how great things were going to be for me, that there was a plan. You have to see the ginormous plan. You have to see how hard you guys work is making a difference. But you also have to see the vision that those million meals are going to feed 1 million people. That means 1 million people are at least hungry. That means you keep working and making it bigger. Grow that. Grow that to 2 million, 3 million, and keep pushing yourselves to give back, because it'll make a difference in your life and in your world. And like I said, I had a good family growing up. They gave and gave and gave, and I thought I'll never need it. But I had that bomb go off in my life. You never know when you're going to need that support. But FFA right now membership is over 500,000 strong. You guys have support. And that's why we're so thankful to have you in Indianapolis. We're proud of all that you do. Not only in FFA, not only in agriculture and all the things that you're going to be in this life, but what you do for each other and what you do for this world. It goes a long way. When you do that for other people, it provides comfort. Comfort's a good thing. Comfort could be food. It could be home. It could be shelter. It could just be a smile walking down the street. Someone's had a bad day. It comforts them. I use humor to comfort people. I know that my situation is awkward sometimes. I understand that. And I happened to be flying home over 2 years ago. I'd been out to see the Denver Broncos. We were flying back. There we go. We were going out to visit you guys, and I was flying back on United next to an older gentleman, nervous flyer, grasping the seat real hard, saying his prayers. I said my prayers, but he said his out loud on the plane. He was nervous. Out of his nervousness, he just happened to be looking around, and he caught sight of my legs. And he looked at me, he said, "Son, was that a war injury?" And I just looked up at him, and I said, "No, it was a plane crash." I don't know what's wrong with my brain half the time. I thought it was hilarious. Until I looked over and saw this man's face. He did not think that was funny. I said, "Sir, I don't know why that came out." I said it was a war injury. We talked actually for 3.5 hours all the way home. And he slowly calmed down. He was cool with it. He was the absolute nicest man. He told me about his family, his children, his grandchildren. I told him about my family, what I did for a living. We just connected. That's what it's about in this life. It's about relationships. It's about growing together, growing your voice to make a difference in this world, that realizing we all want the same thing. We want to be happy, we want our families to be protected, we want to be successful. But it's about realizing that some people are struggling with that. And when you give, when you do these meals, when you go out and serve your community and all the stuff that FFA does, you make a difference in someone's life. Sometimes you don't see the end result of that. You don't see what all your giving has done. I'm the end result. My life is blessed every single day because people gave that didn't know me and just encouraged me. Keep encouraging one another. Keep enjoying life. I go out with a smile every day of my life because that's what makes it worth it. Life is a blessing. It is truly a blessing. Enjoy it. Take hold of it. Go after your dreams. Grow your voice together as FFA, as community, as families. Make a difference and keep happening. I'm proud of you guys, every single one of you, for what you do. And everywhere I hear when people say FFA is coming to Indianapolis, everybody's like, great. They're good young men and women. You have an awesome reputation. Look at those hard days, those bombs. Help other people get through them, but realize that they're going to make you stronger. They're going to allow you to give, to love, and to grow. Keep doing what you do. Keep making us proud. I love you all, and I wish you all the best of the world. God bless. Take care, all.